Well, good to see you. I'm glad you made it back. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we can be in fellowship, and we thank you for your word that heaven and earth will come to pass, but your word abides forever. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that every promise is yea and amen to those that believe. We do pray your blessing on all of our families tonight, this afternoon, our children, our grandchildren. Be with each one, especially those that are having a difficult time. May they look to Jesus. May they find help. And we thank you for the evangelism in this church. Bless those new believers and protect and watch over them. And we thank you for the pastor of the church and the staff and this beautiful facility. What a blessing. You're so good to us, Lord. And now we pray that you would guide us and help us understand your word better, that we might give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I'm very blessed to be here, and I love this topic, inductive method of Bible study. I started teaching it in 1987, and I could probably teach it in my sleep. My poor beloved here has had to listen to me. I already told you that for all these years. And she still loves me, and that's kind of nice after 52 years. What we do, we pray every day, and we read the Bible every day, and we fight every day. Did I say that out loud? I guess I did. But we make up every day, so it's not a boring. I mean, we don't live with trampolines at our house, you know, bouncing off the walls. But you know, we're a passionate family. And we love each other, and we have problems just like you do. And sometimes they might be worse. Sometimes they might be not as bad. But that's what the Bible teaches, that we're going to have trials. And, the guitar string that knows no tension knows no melody. And so it is in the life of a believer. If you don't have any trials or difficulties, probably you wouldn't even be here. You see, you'd be out doing some shopping maybe. I don't know. But God allows trials and problems in our lives so we can grow and be more like Jesus. Because he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And how can we be like Jesus unless we go through some difficulties? I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. And so some of the most richest Christians I've ever met, spiritually speaking, have been those that have suffered a lot. They're just incredible. And I've met some real saints in Asia that have suffered. In Vietnam, I've met pastors that have been just tortured by the Vietnamese communist military and police, especially the tribal people. They see them as non-citizens. And they just give them a horrible time. And there's 53 cultural minorities in Vietnam. And they're horrible towards them. They commanded them. They couldn't speak their language when they got into power, the communists. And I talked to one young man. His dad was a pastor, and he was in the market. And this is right after, in 75. And the military came into the market, the Vietnamese military. And this man was, he was a church member, talking his dialect to another man. The guy just pulled out his pistol and killed him right on the spot. Wow. Right in front of my friend's dad, who was a pastor, for speaking his language. And so you'll never read about these things in the paper or even Fox, even a conservative or whatever. They're just, you don't hear about them. And so they don't make the paper. But I've met some real saints all over Asia, especially where they've suffered, especially where they've been persecuted. And in Vietnam, we were there working in and out. We're still working there. We go in as a tourist. You can't go in as a missionary. And working with the underground church. And they used to call it soft praise, because now a lot of them have been registered. They didn't know how that was going to work out, but it's worked out. But they called it soft praise. You'd have to sing low so the police wouldn't, somebody, a neighbor wouldn't call the cops. And so I remember the first seminar I had 25 years ago. They were so happy to get together, all these pastors. And you can't have a big group because there's too many people and it's roused suspicion. Man, 35 is big enough. And they were so happy and they started singing and, they forgot to keep it down. And the police showed up. And so we were on the third floor and everybody quieted and started praying and I didn't know what was going on. And they finally left. And then we had to meet in a different location every night, every day, different place. And we lost a few because you couldn't, you know, it's all word of mouth where we're going. But soft praise, mostly they start singing and the pastor would have to come up and tell them to keep it down. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's just the opposite in our churches, right? Come on, folks, we're into the worship. This isn't entertainment up here. They're trying to lead you in worship. Come on. But over there, they have to, you know, before, call it soft praise. Don't sing so loud. You're going to get the neighbors are going to call the cops. Or the police will hear. One guy, he was listening to a cassette, a Christian tape in Vietnamese, with the windows open. It's hot all the time over there. And a policeman went by, heard it, knocked on the door, and arrested him. He was in jail for a year. For having a Christian tape. You see? So the Bibles, they all have to be ones that are okayed by Hanoi. They have to have the sticker. If you don't have that sticker, they can take it away from you. You couldn't photocopy anything religious or political. But we had some underground printing ministry in Vietnam. Actually, I brought one of the books. It's an old one, but one that was... It was produced in Westminster, California, at the seminary for Vietnamese, and then it was reproduced over in Vietnam. And my friend said every time I'd run that press, he'd have somebody in the house, but he'd make it look like nobody was there, and lock the door, and then that copy machine would just be going, you know. And we even had some small booklets, and I think it was in Horai or Choru, I can't remember what dialect, but they were for the tribal people. And you open the first page, and there's a picture of Ho Chi Minh. And I thought, my goodness, why'd you put a picture of, they call him Uncle Ho. Why'd you put a picture of Uncle Ho in that little Bible book? And they said, no, that's so if we get caught. The police, they can't read Choru, Harai. They don't know those cultural dialects. But if they see a picture of Ho Chi Minh, they think, oh, this must be a government publication, and they'll just give it back to us. And so no one got in any trouble with those books. No one ever got taken away or anything because they just thought, oh, it's something from the government. And so, anyways, I could tell you a bunch of stories, but we don't have time. And the Lord's been very good. I do have some stuff out on the table if you want to take. There's a couple newsletters. You're welcome to take those. Please don't take the books that say for display only. We've had those disappear. And I apologize. Our book, Inductive Method of Bible Study, it needs to be upgraded. We're in the middle of upgrading it. And I would have brought some, but this is the old one. It's embarrassing. And I'm the one that wrote it. So... Can't blame anybody, but it needed upgrading so bad, so hopefully by the end of August, it'll be ready. And then we'll just put it on our website, and I'll give you my website if you want it before I leave, or you can get it at the table on some of our literature, and you can just download it for free, you know, the workbook. And there's also a teacher book, too, if you want to teach it to a group, and so that's available. We have the Marriage and Family Workshop, Evangelism and Discipleship, and they're all on our website. So, okay, so let's go on to our topic. We're in Jude, the epistles, and what we're doing is we're covering three different types of a biblical format. So we did yesterday, it was a narrative out of the Gospel of Mark. This assignment is an epistle, a letter. That's what they are, simply a letter. And they, when you look at it, they're like a letter. There's the introduction, a reason for writing, and then there's the body of the letter, and then there's the closing. Just like if you were to write a letter to a friend, you know, but this is inspired scripture. And then the other forms of, and then we'll have time, we'll push through with it. We'll do Psalms 1. And so then you'll get a taste of what the poetry books are like. And of course, that's, they typically call them your Proverbs, Song of Solomon, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, poetry books. So, and they have a different format. And so we'll just touch on it. And then we have another workshop. Lord willing, if I come back, I could teach. It'll be to reiterate what we've done, inductive method. And then we would go over prophecy and parables. How do you understand parables? You know, How do you understand prophecy? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, what everything means in prophecy, because that's interpretation, right? But just how do you look at it? How do you understand it? How do you, you know, it's on a timeline. Because when you go through prophecy, prophetic books in the Bible, there's a timeline. The prophet speaks about the past or the far past, or he talks about the present right then in his life, or the near future, the far future, or the very far future. And it's up to you as a good observer to go in there and say on that timeline, where is he talking? Is he talking about him right now? Or is he talking about something that just happened? Or is he talking about something that's going to happen about 50, 60 years from then? A lot of the prophets they talked to, or way far, maybe the first coming of Christ or the second coming. So these are the things that workshop covers. So, okay. So how was your work in Jude? How'd that go? Did you finish the epistle? You don't have to, no show of hands, but. It's good. It's a lot of work. It literally, if you finish it, it could take three or four hours. And honestly, and I told our pastors, if you finish it and do a good job, you could probably have three or four good sermons, honestly. And there's a couple ways to go through the Bible. As a pastor, I went two different ways. Sundays, I went real slow, like microscope. It took me 2.5 years to get through Luke, 2 years to get through Acts. But I went through microscope. During the midweek Bible study, I went telescope. You know, I just went through the books, you know. And so that's kind of, but for the pastors, if they can go through and really get a lot of stuff, squeeze all the juice out of that lemon. You're going to have maybe two or three sermons, easy, out of that book of, or a really good Bible study for maybe 4 weeks. So it depends on how much you dig. Sorry, we had a delicious meal with our wonderful host over here. He's quite a cook. And we had salmon on cedar planks. Imagine that? Wow, it's delicious. And anyways, if I have a nice meal, I got to drink some coffee. This is a Christian dope. And so I... anyways. Let's just do this. Let's take literally maybe 5 minutes of me talking about it, and then I want you to get in your groups again. And probably since we went over some of the first verses, maybe you could start... you could either start from 5 in your group and onward, or you could start from maybe 8 and onward, or 9, or just as a group, you pick where you'd like to go over, okay? That way we can have some variation when we get up to share, okay? So, again, it's just observation, interpretation, application. Observation, you're looking at the grammar, like my dear sister said the other day. What about the original languages, Greek and Hebrew? Definitely, if you have those sources available. Or you know about those things, but you're trying to understand each word. And what does that mean? What are they talking about? Verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. They've crept in. They didn't come to the front door. Hello, pastor. Hello, church. We're false prophets, and we're going to come here and disrupt your church. We're going to take half these people with us. No, they creep. What do you think of when it creeps? You think of a rat or a cockroach, right? Somebody creeps in. Who are these people? Certain persons, these are real people. These are real heretics, have crept in unnoticed. They didn't. No one noticed them. You know, they're sheep in wolf's clothing. No, wolves in sheep's clothing. That's that dyslexia. I get it all twisted and turned around. So, who were long before time marked out for this condemnation. So, you know, God's known about them from way back, and he told us they would come, and we were warned by Jesus, marked out. And what kind of persons are they? Oh, they're ungodly persons. And we turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our own master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we already talked about that, denying the deity of Christ. You look at all the cults, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Christian Science, you know, they all deny the deity of Christ. And they twist the grace so it's works. You know, oh, sure, they'll say grace plus, you got to do this and that. He talks about angels in verse 6. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, since in the same way as what? You have to look at the verse before. In the same way. What same way? Well, you have to go back to the verse prior to see what they're talking about. Since they, in the same way as these, indulge in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. And so, you know, it's pretty much there. So let's get in our groups. And as a group, you just pick the section you'd like to go over. How's that? And we don't have much time, so we'll probably just maybe 30, 45 minutes, and we'll have you finish up. So, okay, any questions? Yes.
Do you want us to focus on any one of the three columns, particularly as far as observation, interpretation, or application, or all of the above, all of those in one section?
Yeah, all of those in one section. So you just, you know, somebody that's writing it down, you put the observation, the verses, and the key words. And literally, sometimes it's almost every word. You just kind of underline the verbs and circle the adjectives or the nouns. You know how you just make notation. What's who's who in the zoo? And that's your observation. You know, and then you move to the interpretation. What does that mean? And sometimes you have to have one verse to explain the next verse. Or maybe there's three or four verses to understand the whole concept that the writer is trying to write. Because remember I told you in the original writings, there's no verses in chapters. That was all put in later. And so sometimes you have to read a whole section. You just pull one verse out. I got three verses I pulled out just for your entertainment. Yeah, I think you'll appreciate this. This is what people do all the time. They take things out of context and really scare people. See if I can find it. And, yeah. Well, here it is. Matthew 27:5. Judas went and hung himself. Luke 10:37. Jesus said, go thou and do likewise. John 13:27. And Jesus said, what thou doest, do quickly. See, what a buffoon. I mean, in other words, you can take things out of context and end up with a screwball religion. You know, you can take things out of context and teach almost anything. You know, and that's what all the cults, all the false teachers, all the heresy, it's always people taking stuff out of context. They're not the expositors. You know, Calvary Chapel, praise the Lord, we're expositors. We go through the Bible, verse by verse, you know. And so that helps you so you're not taking things out of context and ending up with some baloney, you know, or phony doctrine. So anyways, any other questions? Okay, please get in your groups, and if you're not sure where you belong, just pick a winner, and